Welcome to the Rocky and Meisty Show presented by Juicetool. Thank you for joining us, everyone. Let's get right into it.
You're completely missing the boat, Armor. You're at the wrong dock.
I'd have to say this. If he's looking to go to a new team, the last thing he wants to do is be like, oh, he's got to show up. And he's got to really, he's got to show the Browns, you just lost $250 million by not playing, by not giving me that money. You're going to give him? Go for it.
This is crazy. Tyreek Hill going to the Dolphins for a 5 picks.
Back into positions.
Should we end the podcast now?
I have breaking news.
Should we end it now? Now or later? Which one?
Right now.
That's asinine. You're crazy.
He's got the full package.
No way. I can't even. It's hard to even look at you right now when you say something like that. That's crazy.
We want to talk about legacy-defining plays and legacy-defining throws. 13 seconds. And you get the ball into field range. That is absolutely insane.
I have to be frank with you guys. Mitch Trubisky is not a good NFL quarterback. He has never been.
Okay. And guess what? In basketball, you use a basketball. In football, you use a football.
And, I mean, we've been recording this whole time. So, you know, feel free to start whenever.
2 second pause. We'll just do 2 second pause. All right, guys. So it's fantasy football season. Everyone is doing their drafts right now, and I have just a very important question for both of you. Meisty, please start. I want to know, how many leagues are you going to be in this year?
I haven't have cut down on leagues this year. I only am in like three in a dynasty, so 4 total leagues, but 3 in a dynasty.
All right, Morty, how many leagues are you going to be they're going to grace your presence with this year?
So last year was my first year doing like real fantasy. And it turned out pretty good. So I decided to double down. This year I'm going to be in two leagues. So
2 leagues, not bad. It turned out pretty well in the form of a Super Bowl champion. That's right. It went, in terms of the Rocky and Meisty Fantasy Football League, Morty, our very own producer, was the Super Bowl champion. Who said producers don't know anything about football? Seriously. So obviously that worked out contrary to the stereotypical that you would think.
We know more about podcasts, but yeah.
Okay, but clearly,
well,
I mean,
if you listen to last year's fantasy podcast, you took advice from the experts.
There you go. You listen to the Rocky and Meisty Show, you will have, I mean, I can't guarantee anything, I can't promise anything, but, you know, there's a good chance you can have a pretty successful fantasy season. So let's get into some hot topics surrounding the fantasy football world. So it's different than regular football. You have to adjust your mindset as a result of that. But I think the thing that we want to start off with is the top players: Saquon Barkley, Christian McCaffrey, so on and so forth, Derrick Henry. These guys are on a lot of players' minds and a lot of people's minds. Players, we can call them players too, right? You're playing fantasy football. And I think that the people have concerns about the injuries. Rightfully so. You know, something interesting about fantasy football is that the best players are running backs, but also the most injury-prone players are running backs. I think I saw a number one time that the average career span for a running back is about 2.5 years. I mean, it's nothing. These running backs just don't have long careers. There's a lot of wear and tear on their body. They often get injured. And as a result of that, even if you draft Jonathan Taylor number one or Christian McCaffrey number one overall, whoever you pick number one overall, you have to expect there is a decent chance that he's going to get injured. On the other hand, what about injury-prone running backs, Meisty? How do you approach an injury-prone running back at an already injury-prone position? It's tough.
Very.
It's tough.
I would say like this. Some running backs every year prove that they just get injured, period. Those guys, out the door, right? Your Dalvin Cooks, your CMCs, just stay away from there. Unless you can get great value on them. But the chances on that, it's slim. They're probably – but those are the guys you want out the door. There are guys like James Robinson, J.K. Dobbins, Derrick Henry, fluke injury guys. Now, when they were fluke injuries, they were serious injuries, but they still – these are younger guys. These are beasts. These are different animals to the game. And to me, those were like fluker injuries that these guys will bounce back, have good years. So don't be scared to like go after your Derrick Henrys, your James Robinsons, your J.K. Dobbins, and guys like that.
Yeah,
so you have to pick and choose.
Yeah, you definitely have to pick and choose. You have to you know, realize at what point is this guy worth it? At what point is he a reach, or at what point is he a steal? Right? Because the same guy can be a reach on one point of the draft and a steal at the other point of the draft. But let's just focus on Saquon Barkley for a second, because there's no one else in that Giants backfield. He's not competing with anyone. Nobody's taking carries from him. And yes, I know there are concerns, but he's going late in the first round, early in the second round in a lot of drafts. And the bottom line is that injuries are a concern, but I actually heard something very interesting on the PFF Fantasy Football podcast. I believe his name is Ian Hartitz. And he said a very interesting, he talked to a doctor. He said, listen, I'm ignorant when it comes to injuries. I'm an expert in fantasy football, but that does not mean I know anything about injuries. So he talks to experts, very smart of him. He actually talks to medical experts to become more knowledgeable in that area. And when it comes to injury prone, it's not a real thing, the doctor was saying. Not that it's not a real thing, but because the guy was injury prone, because the guy had an injury last year, it doesn't necessarily mean that injury is going to repeat itself this year. He could be completely healthy. So if you're not drafting Saquon Barkley out of injury concerns, maybe I'd take a second look and maybe say maybe he is worth a higher look. Because again, we know what this guy did in his rookie year. 3.7 yards per carry last year, not the number we're used to, but there were a couple really good running backs that had that similar. Alvin Kamara averaged 3.7 yards per carry last year. Like, there were good running backs that had the similar thing, and we weren't getting the same concerns to Alvin Kamara last year. Bottom line is, it was a little overblown, and I do think Saquon Barkley, without a backfield, without any competition there in the backfield, is worth a high pick, higher up in the first round, perhaps.
Yeah, I can completely agree. I mean, there's a difference between guys like Saquon Barkley and Derrick Henry versus the guys like CMC and Dalvin Cook, where every year Christian McCaffrey gets hurt. Every year Dalvin Cook gets hurt. Saquon Barkley had a good season. His team, he's young. He's much younger. He's not every year. It's been 1 year that he had an injury, year and a half, whatever it's been. But that was the same injury. But with Saquon, he can be in these are once again, like, these guys are just bounce back years. Not, you don't stay injured forever. And I agree with exactly what you said.
Yeah, so and they don't stay injured forever. I think that applies to the other running backs too. Derrick Henry's an interesting one, right? One injury, although he had an injury in college, I think, also. But, you know, one injury in the NFL so far, and doesn't mean he's not going to come back strong. It does not mean that. This is a guy that has incredible value. And even though, by the way, the Titans' running game last year didn't miss much of a beat when he went out, because they did have good run blocking, the backup running backs pulled through, but you have Derrick Henry's a whole nother beast. And I think there's a similar concept there as well. But with running backs in general, I think that top heavy is important, meaning top three rounds, load up on running backs. Because receivers this year are, and tell me if you agree with this, but I just think that the receiver position is stacked. You look at receivers number 14, 15 to like 30, they're not that far apart from each other. I'm going to go ahead and give specific examples as I look them up in a second, but they're really not that far apart from each other. You can literally get at 29, at WR, wide receiver 29, similar value that you can get wide receiver 16. And instead of drafting that guy in the third round, that wide receiver 16, you can draft another number two running back. At the end of the day, there are some more running backs this year, especially teams are starting to go more to that split back, that split carry, you know, splitting carries to other running backs. So you can sort of spread the wealth, and there aren't many teams. That's also another reason why I think Saquon Barkley has such value, because the Giants are going to rely on him so heavily. He's a bell cow. There aren't many bell cows anymore, Meisty. There aren't many bell cows. But I personally think that drafting running backs in the first three rounds and maybe not reaching for a receiver, if it's not one of the top six, to say the big six names, then I wouldn't reach too high for a receiver. You can get a good one later on. Pittman. Michael Pittman, that's a good one. Right. Start there and go to...
Speaking of deep receivers, Rocky, the difference between those certain receivers in the league that are capable of having extremely high ceilings, right? There are some guys that have very low ceilings. So yes, your Adam Thielen, right, is a guy that is great value if you can get him right deeper in the thing. But if you look around that area in the wide receiver 30, the wide receiver 31, those guys, even wide receiver 32, those guys aren't having, in Darnell Mooney or Sharpie, those guys aren't having 60-point games, 50-point games. Maybe Adam Thielen will have a 4 or 5 touchdown game and have a lot of points, fine. But you have to go up all the way up there where guys like Mike Williams can have 45-plus points. Keenan Allen's will have 45-plus points. your guy like Jalen Waddle is a little reach over there to have a lot of points, but we'll see what happens down there.
Yeah, so, okay, so you're right. If you go below 30, then you're in trouble. But I'm talking about right above that 30 threshold, meaning let's say we're talking about a guy like Michael Pittman, according to PFF, is a wide receiver 14, or DJ Moore is a wide receiver 13. You can go all the way down to wide receiver 26 and find St. Brown from Detroit. Similar value, and you're finding him 12 spots lower than Pittman.
There's a few guys.
There's Brandon Cooks at a similar range. Even Rashad Bateman. I mean, you know, you mentioned Rashad Bateman. He's a wide receiver 30. Again, yes, are the Ravens going to rely heavily on the running game? No doubt. But he's the number one weapon there. I mean, they're going to have to throw the ball, right? They're going to have to throw the ball. Lamar Jackson's going to end the year with over 3,000 passing yards, you have to assume. I mean, it's not even that difficult of a feat to accomplish. So with that being said, Rashad Bateman at wide receiver 30 compared to Michael Pittman at wide receiver 16. Well, you can get another top-notch running back. You can get another starting running back at that position instead and just wait and get Rashad Bateman.
Outside Brandon Cooks' injuries, he might be the best receiver in that area of wide receiver 25, 23, 24, 25, 26, 27 area.
Chris Godwin. Chris Godwin's a little higher.
You take Chris Godwin over Brandon Cooks? I mean, Brandon Cooks is the number one receiver, and Chris Godwin's sharing the ball now with even more. He's wide receiver 3 Godwin on his team now.
Except for Mike Evans.
And Julio Jones. He's not
wide receiver 3, though. He's not wide receiver. He's the only real deep threat there. Mike Evans is not a deep threat. He's a slot receiver. He's a win-at-the-catch-point type of guy. Chris Godwin's the only deep threat.
Has his fair share of injury.
Sure. I'm not saying he's a perfect receiver, but right. Is he better than Brandon Cooks? I'm not so sure about that. Allen Robinson is an underrated value pick this year, I think, even though they have Brandon Cooks. But again, like you always say, when you have a good receiver on one side, you know, and you have it opens the door for the other receiver. Look at T. Higgins last year, over 1,000 yards. You had Ja'Marr Chase making prolific plays. All of a sudden, the defense had to give him attention and open the door for T. Higgins to have this monster year. So, you know, you could have that dynamic with Cooper Kupp and Allen Robinson. Always been an underrated receiver throughout his career, Allen Robinson. Except for that one year, he had the breakout year. You know?
The ultimate question, though, is when do you start going away? A problem a lot of people have when they're drafting is they're going from running backs and they're chasing running backs and they're reaching for them and they're skipping over valuable picks for receivers. At some point, you have to say, okay, I have enough running backs. I've drafted 6 running backs or 4 running backs or whatever it is, right? At some point, you got to be like, all right, no more running backs, because that's what you said, right? There's never enough running backs. You can always have more running backs on your team. Your whole bench could just be running backs at the end of the day, right? And you'll find value out of that. You can get trade from that. Whatever, you can figure it out eventually from there. But at some point, you're going to be like, dude, you're missing over all this great value picks. When do you go away from the running back?
Okay, so I think third or fourth round, okay? I mean, you have your top 6 receivers. Top 6 being Justin Jefferson, Cooper Kupp, Ja'Marr Chase, Stephon Diggs, Davante Adams, Tyreek Hill. Top 6 receivers, right? After that, so those guys are worth drafting in the top 15. After that, it's not so simple, right? Meaning, in between that, you have your top 6 running backs. And then after that, maybe wait another 2 rounds to reach for a guy like CeeDee Lamb. Or Deebo Samuel is a perfect example. Deebo Samuel. Let's dial in on Deebo Samuel for a second. Okay? Now, Deebo Samuel is valuable because he gets rushing, he gets carries, and he gets targets. But let's be honest, which one's more valuable? Targets. Way more valuable, right? Number one, if you're in a PPR league, for sure targets are more valuable because you get a point per target. One reception is equivalent to 10 rushing yards. Okay? Number two, you get more chunk yardage when you're catching the ball through the air as opposed to on the ground. So if Deebo Samuel's targets are chipping into his, if Deebo Samuel's rushing attempts are chipping into his targets, I don't know if I draft him so high, Meisty. I don't know if I draft him in the second round. I think it's a little high for him, even the third round. Now, you get him late in the third round, okay, it's a different story. Still incredible value. But that's a perfect, I would draft one of those, you know, second-tier running backs over Deebo Samuel. That's when I would stop. When you start seeing guys like Deebo Samuel on the board.
Let me riddle you this. I think there's a guy that's going to drop in some drafts, and for no apparent reason, he's just outside the range of where you're like, oh, I don't know. There's guys around him that will be on the list that you're going to be like, oh, I can get him better than him. But at the end of the day, AJ Brown is going to have a beast of a year, and there's no question about it. The guy is a deep threat. He can take the ball short. Jalen Hurst is going to rely on him heavy. Jalen Hurst is a young quarterback who's going to look for somebody that he can literally just rely on. AJ Brown is that guy that Ryan Tannehill did it too. He just relied on him. He's like, I know I can just throw it near him, and I'm just going to hope that this man's going to come down with it. AJ Brown is that man. I take him before I take Keenan Allen. I take him before I take Deebo Samuel. That's a disaster going on in the 49ers offense. You know what they're going to do. I take him before I take T. Higgins because Jamar Chase is there, right? Going up there, I take him before CeeDee Lamb even. As much as a CeeDee Lamb guy can go off, AJ Brown can have a much better year than CeeDee Lamb. There'll be higher floors, lower ceilings maybe, but higher floors for AJ Brown. He's a six touchdown. He can get six touchdowns. CeeDee Lamb in his lifetime will never have six touchdowns in a game. So, you know.
That was a Morty friendly rant right there. Let's go off on AJ Brown. Let's call what's his name out, CeeDee Lamb.
I'm here for
no, it. AJ Brown last year. I remember AJ Brown last year going crazy, and he was on the Titans with a bad quarterback. You know, imagine he had somewhat of a better quarterback and a better offense that can use him better. The Titans offense was this rushing offense. It wasn't built to throw the ball. I remember Ryan Tannehill is getting paid to hand the ball off.
No, Tannehill plays his role nicely there in Tennessee. But I think before I go a little more about the move on to a different topic, just to stay on this for a second. So again, cutoff points, like you asked, cutoff points. When do you stop with the receivers? Start with the running backs. The guy from Jacksonville, how do you spell him? Travis Etienne, I think you pronounce it right. That's a great pick. I mean, I think that people are high on James Robinson, but I don't know if it's necessarily rightfully so. I mean, I think they're going to give him a lot of carries. I think James Conner what's his name? PFF has him as an RB14. So that's also a value pick. That's a value pick. Like, there are the injury concerns. But like I said, is he injury prone? I mean, I don't know. You can't go into a season saying, well, this guy's injury prone. Even though he's really good, I'm not going to draft him. He got a lot of carries last year in Arizona. There's no reason to think he's going to get that many less this year. I would give him, and by the way, Leonard Fournette, I know there's a passing game there in Tampa. I know it's a big passing game, but he's going to get a lot of carries there. He just is. He's going to get a big share of the carries. Lenny Fournette, James Conner, Travis Etienne, these are guys that I would pick before drafting one of those second-tier receivers, Meisty. That's more where I'm going with that. That's where I'm cutting it off. You can get these guys, you know, in the second round, late second round. I'm drafting them before I'm drafting one of those other second-tier wide receivers. So that's more where my cutoff would be. Now, again, I want to move on to cutoff.
Before you move on to that, let me give you one more.
Yeah.
You skipped a complete guy on this list. I don't know why we skipped over him, but Josh Jacobs with Kenyon Drake being out, Josh Jacobs will be part of a high-powered offense.
Right. That's true. Josh Jacobs is a good under the radar. Again, injury concern. Injury concern. Although the offensive line in.
That's what I'm saying. They're a built team. They're going to be a powerhouse. There's going to be games that they blow people out. If they're the team that they're supposed to be, they will blow people out. We'll be handing him the ball. We'll give him the workload.
We'll be right back to this episode of the Rocky and Meisty Show. But first, I have a message for all you sports bettors out there. Listen, the NFL season is right around the corner. And what better place to start than BetUS? Using our link and promo code in the description below, you can access a sign-up bonus of up to 125%. That's right, a figure unmatched in the industry, special for our loyal listeners. You can bet on all of your favorite sports, including NFL, MLB, and UFC. You can access live betting odds, parlays, props, and so much more. BetUS truly is the best all-around sports betting experience. So what are you waiting for? Go ahead, press the link in the description below, and get started today.
Meisty, who's your QB1 this year?
My QB1 this year is Tom Brady. No, my QB1 this year, Josh Allen is QB1. Patrick Mahomes is QB2. Lamar Jackson would be 3.
So Josh Allen has been QB1 now for 2 straight years. So now he's trying to get his 3rd straight. It would be the first time since, I think, Michael Vick or something that he's been that the three straight years the same guy's been QB1. Is it Michael Vick, Morty? Morty's fact checking that. Okay, good. So I think we got Michael Vick. No, I think it is Michael Vick. You don't have to fact check. I'm not that confident in my answer. Anyway, point being, Lamar Jackson, I think, is QB2 probably just because of the questions. Again, you don't have Tyreek Hill there in that passing game. We discussed that when we discussed the Chiefs a little more. But when are you drafting Josh Allen? Like, how? He's QB1. He's great. High value. But you drafted him in the third round? Again, that's where he's going. He's going to the third round, Meisty. So now you're going to draft him over all these running backs I just mentioned, over those receivers that you can also get? I mean, you're passing up your number two running back. You're passing up RB2. You're passing up your RB2 for the entire season to get Josh Allen. When you can literally wait three rounds and get Kyler Murray and Jalen Hurts. Less value, but how much less? Three rounds later.
Someone can fact check this, and it's probably going to be wrong because I saw the stat elsewhere. Last year, QB20, which was Kirk Cousins, right, was like 4 points per game shy than like QB5 or something like that, right? Exactly. So the difference between 5 and 20 is so far – so close that like why would you stretch for the QB5 when you can get Kirk Cousins, who throws the ball to Adam Thielen and Justin Jefferson. Yes, he might not be the best quarterback in the league, but he throws to some damn good receivers, right? So you can free agent. He won't even be drafted Kirk Cousins in most leagues. He'll just be sitting on the bench. He'd be like, so why even draft a quarterback when you can get that? Now, if I'm sitting in late fifth round, that's where I take Josh Allen. Otherwise, easy. I'll take my chances with my Kirk Cousins. In the eighth, ninth, tenth round.
You would go that late? You wouldn't get him in the fourth round?
No. Like you said, really? You're missing – no, because at some point, Rocky, let's say you draft 1, 2, 3 running back, right? And now you and now you go receiver, right?
Yeah.
You can't take him in the fourth round. No, because then you need a receiver. If you go him in the fourth round, then who's your receiver one? You're taking your receiver one in the fifth round?
That's a wide receiver too. Right. If you're taking wide receiver, I agree with the being hesitant toward Josh Allen. Kirk Cousins, by the way. So Joe Burrow is also a bit, and this I owe credit to Ian Harditz at PFF because he pointed this out. Joe Burrow is getting drafted as QB6, right? Which is about late fifth round, I believe. Let me just double check here. Yeah, late fifth round, right? Kirk Cousins is going QB15. 60-plus picks later, Meisty. It's not that different. Joe Burrow and Kirk Cousins are not that different. Joe Burrow is much better. Don't get me wrong. I'm saying fantasy-wise. They're not that different. Like, Kirk Cousins does a lot of the same things. He's going to have a lot of deep plays. Like you said, Justin Jefferson's just one of the most dynamic receivers in football. He's got that good intermediate threat in Adam Thielen. They're going to throw the ball a lot in Minnesota. Yeah, hopefully this year they'll let him rip a little more. Kirk Cousins was the sixth best-graded quarterback in the league, according to PFF last year. But Joe Burrow was number one, don't get me wrong. Point being that if you can wait 60 picks and get Kirk Cousins at a little less production, look, think about what you can do in those six rounds in the middle, Meisty. Think about what you can do. You can stack up at receivers. Well, all the receiver depth you can get in the seventh, eighth, ninth round, you can stack up at receivers. You can get another underrated running back like a Kareem Hunt. I mean, you can get these types of guys instead of drafting Joe Burrow. All those guys, wait later, get Kirk Cousins. He'll do fine for you. He'll do just fine for you. You know what I'm saying?
Rocky, you can get Jameis Winston even, who's going to throw 30 touchdowns and 30 interceptions. But you can get Derek Carr, who, if he has this insane year that everyone's projecting to have, I happen to be on the clock in this Dynasty League. I don't even know
who's on the
pick.
Board.
Anyway.
Who's on the board?
Who's on the board? I don't even – it's a bunch of rookies. I don't even know these names.
Only rookies?
Is this guy? Atlanta? He looks good.
Oh, yeah. What's his name? What's
Allgaier. Tyler Allgaier? Let's see what they say here about him. Talking about quarterbacks again, the agreement is on this that if you want to stretch for Josh Allen or Lamar Jackson or whoever you want to call your QB1, go for it, right? There's not a problem with it. But like we're saying, at the end of the day, you can get a value quarterback who any quarterback technically is capable of dropping a lot of points. Any given week, these guys go off and you're like, oh, I should have had him. you can stream quarterbacks. Quarterbacks are harder to stream a little bit sometimes just because they sit on people's benches. Some people love to have them sitting on their bench.
And then more dependent on exterior factors, right? They're more dependent on the receiving game, the running game, everything, defenses that they play. It's a lot of outside factors dependent, you know, that quarterbacks need to rely on. I was going to say something else. Like, even if you don't want to wait till round 15 to get Cousins, wait till round 6 to get Kyler Murray, Jalen Hurts. Like, again, you can get Josh Allen in the third round, or you can draft RB2, wide receiver 2, tight end 1 possibly, or another wide receiver, or flex, and then get Jalen Hurts and Kyler Murray with incredible rushing upside. It can't be understated the value of a quarterback with rushing upside. They have such a high floor in fantasy. Such a high floor. Like, what? I want to know, Lamar Jackson for the first 13 weeks of the season when he was playing, he did not have a good year throwing the football last year. Probably still up there in fantasy points. I'm willing to bet. I don't even know the number off the top of my head, but probably still up there. Kyler Murray, similar situation, right? And Jalen Hurts, I mean, the man was tearing it up on the ground. Again, these guys, their floor is so high. Wait, Josh Allen's got that rushing upside, don't get me wrong, but he's not going to run the ball as much as Kyler Murray, Jalen Hurts, and Lamar Jackson. So when you look at that, wait 3 rounds. Yeah, I'm not, again, like you said, Meisty, you want to go ahead and get your Josh Allen early? You do you. But I think that there's a lot of value to be had if you wait a few rounds.
2021 rankings have Jalen Hurts, Kyler Murray, Lamar Jackson, respectively, at 9, 10, and 15, averaging over 20 points, 21 points, 22 points a game.
Who averaged more points? Was it Justin Herbert or Lamar Jackson?
Justin Herbert averaged 23. 23, Lamar Jackson, 21.
Yeah, the skill's different, but the point is the rushing upside. Wait. So, right, Justin Herbert's average 23, Lamar Jackson average 21. Justin Herbert was, and this was one of Lamar Jackson's worst. I think the year before that he was the highest. He was the second, oh no, the 2 years, in MVP year he was the highest. He had the most points in fantasy. Last year was, the year before was Josh Allen. QBs. But point being that you can, again, wait, and Kyler Murray, you said, who was 15? Kyler Murray was 15, number 15.
Lamar was 15.
Lamar was 15. Hurts was 9, 10. Murray.
Hurts was 9. Murray was 10.
Hurts and Murray, 9 and 10. Exactly. Perfect example. You got two guys top 10, three guys top 15. They're going much below. Sixth round, you can get a guy that's top 10 in the league in fantasy points. Top 10 in the league in fantasy points, not just amongst quarterbacks. So that's obviously an incredible value. Now, Meisty, maybe we should end off with some sleepers. I have sleepers. You can input if you want.
Well, Rocky, we're skipping over a whole thing here. We're skipping over a whole position here, your favorite position in the league. The bottom line is, at what point do you take your tight ends?
Okay, so... Okay. All right, tight ends. So, again, there's six big-name wide receivers. The aforementioned wide receivers. There's six big-name running backs. McCaffrey, Jonathan Taylor, Eckler, Henry, Najee Harris, Dalvin Cook. Did I forget? Right, those are the big six, okay? And did I forget one of the big names? I think those are the big names, right? And then after that, you can get Travis Kelce. But I wouldn't get him over any of those guys. Like, I wouldn't get him in the first round. I would get him in the second round. Mid-second round, early to mid-second round. Mark Andrews, similar thing, mid to late second round. Take your top guys off the board, then you can get the top tight ends. Take your top running backs and receivers, then get your top tight ends. Very simply put. That's all. That's what I would recommend. You don't like that?
Someone just knocked on my door. No, I agree. This is why I asked you the question. I don't really know. I always struggle with taking the tight ends. You know, when Mark Andrews is staring back at you, how do you not take him? When Travis Kelce's sitting there and he's the best player on the board. You always talk about like the Ravens draft, the best player on the board. Anyway, we have to.
All right, we'll get to the sleepers. Let's conclude with the sleepers. So I got four sleepers here. Number one sleeper of the 2022 NFL Fantasy Football Draft, Tyler Boyd, okay? Now, Tyler Boyd is going really late in a lot of drafts. Why? Obvious reason. You got the two-headed monster over there in Cincinnati. You got T. Higgins. You got Jamar Chase. But at the end of the day, he's going to get a lot of targets because those guys are going to get a lot of attention. He also had plenty of targets last year, over 800 yards receiving last year. Plenty of targets. It's not like there's not enough to go around. The Bengals are going to throw the ball a heck of a lot. You best darn believe it, just like they did last year. Tyler Boyd is my number one sleeper. What about you, Meister? You got any sleepers?
You want my number one sleeper? I mean,
I'm not saying he's not. I'm not saying he's the top sleeper in the league. No, I'm saying really that he's like the first, first guy on my list. Tyler
Boyd. I really like Robert Woods because, and I'll tell you why I like Robert Woods. One of the reasons I like Robert Woods is because he's taking over the AJ Brown spot, and the same reason I spoke about AJ Brown earlier, right? AJ Brown is a beast, and AJ Brown has good hands. He can go deep. He can. That's Robert Woods can do it all, right? He's learned from the best. He's seen the best do it. He has his injury, so you have to be worried about that. If you want someone else that, if you're worried about injury, your other answer is like Chase Claypool. Last year wasn't so good. His quarterback is very situational right now, but there's a huge market for Chase Claypool to go crazy this year.
Yeah, I was going to go with next Jahan Dotson from the Commanders. If you look at the first 2 weeks of their season against the Jaguars and the Lions, I mean, first of all, just off the bat, like if you want to look about front-loaded value right at the beginning of the season, Jaguars and Lions is about as good as you can get in terms of secondary matchups. But yeah, Terry McLaurin's there. But again, he's going to get a lot of targets. I know Carson Wentz is under center, but is Carson Wentz any worse than the quarterbacks at the Commanders / football team / Redskins, whatever they were the last 5 years, have put out there? Not really. I mean, the Redskins have never had good quarterbacks, and they've still seen production from the receiver position. So I think that Jahan Dotson's an underrated player as well. I'll just go straight to number three, to my third guy, Nakeem Hines. He's the backup running back for the Colts. Now, again, when do you say, like, it's worth it to draft the running back because if the RB1 gets injured on the team, then we're in business? So I sort of did that last year with A.J. Dillon, right? Although there were rumors that he was going to get carries himself, right? And that he was going to get, what?
Yeah, continue.
I had Aaron Jones that season.
What?
I had Aaron Jones that season. And I frantically run back to the app to pick up A.J. Dillon.
Oh, and I picked him up. Exactly. Right. So, again, A.J. Dillon was a perfect example of that. Like, if you front, I heard a lot of people on the podcast last year saying, get A.J. Dillon late in the draft because, again, he might get a couple carries anyway, which he did. But then Aaron Jones gets one injury, misses a couple weeks, which is exactly what happened. You're in business. When you get Alexander Mattison is a perfect example of that. The backup for the Tony Pollard on the Cowboys last year. These are great examples. When you draft Nakeem Hines, again, might get a – like, how many carries is Jonathan Taylor going to be able to get, Meisty? How many carries is he going to be able to get? He's not going to be able to carry the entire offensive line or defensive line on his back. So at the end of the day – Hines should get some carries. You can get him really late. Again, get him really late. I actually like him as an underrated player. What do you think about that, Meisty? Like getting backup running backs late just in case the starter gets injured.
Huge fan. It's like instead of stretching for a kicker defense, you know, when you're like looking and you're like, oh, I could take a kicker. No, take a backup running back.
Exactly. Exactly.
I have Mark Andrews. Naheem, let me take a backup tight end. When you're looking at and you're like, well, let me take a backup tight end. No, take a backup running back.
Yeah, 100%. Exactly. So,
as the Ravens fan, Rocky, just to say what I did, I drafted Isaiah Likely in my dynasty draft.
That's a good one.
Couldn't control myself.
Oh, of course you had to do that.
I mean, the question is, Rocky, on this also, what do we hold of rookie sleepers? Because rookies are all sleepers, right? So are there rookies that you're like, okay, this guy I like, let's see what we can do with him, right? This guy I like, what can we do with? Like, there are guys that are rookies that you can get away with drafting them and just holding on to them or using them. Who's going to make an immediate impact of rookies is the good question.
That's always
the problem. Have the answer.
That's it, because that's always the tough one. We don't know, right? The rookies are always a big question. Like, Breece Hall is getting a lot of hype this offseason because they just assume that he's going to get more carries than Michael Carter. I don't know if that's necessarily the case. Who says that he's going to get more carries than Michael Carter? They might split even. That might be a very even split in the backfield there. So it's very difficult to determine. But then again, Michael Carter gets injured, and boom, Breece Hall's an incredible value. So that's another one. When do you draft him, right? Running back's also tricky because there are backup running backs, like Nyheim Hines, as I mentioned. And then there are, like, not really backup running backs, but sort of backup running backs, like Breece Hall, right? Or Michael Carter, whichever one you want to say it is. Or, like, whoever's going to be the number two, Mike Davis for the Ravens, right? He's the RB2 for them right now, I think.
Yeah, I think it's something like
Mitchell this year. Oh, he's on things though.
A running back core like the Ravens or the Eagles, that have like, you know, more than one, you know, running back that's gonna run the ball at least a couple times a game. I know the Eagles have like three of them. You know, they have Sanders, they have this guy, can't remember his name off the top of my head, but they last year Sanders got injured. They just went Kenneth Gainwell, has been playing in the preseason a lot. And remember, they throw the ball all around. So, would you say that's a more worthwhile pickup than, I don't know, backup tight end? I guess. I mean, I guess probably, right?
Like, depends where you get him in the draft. You know, it depends where you get him in the draft.
We're talking like last two rounds.
Yeah. To get a Kenneth Gainwell in the last round, maybe. Again, like Meisty said, you're going to get Chris Boswell, or you're going to get Kenneth Gainwell. So, yeah. They both end with well. That was very good. I didn't even see the play on words over there. But anyway, it worked out well. So, yeah, some of these guys are worth it. You might be able to get a better backup running back than Gainwell. No, maybe it might be worth it. Again, like I said, it depends how late it is. I was talking about – so if you're talking about a loaded, you know, running back room, and the Chiefs have the same thing with McKinnon. Do you want to draft McKinnon early? No. But if you get him late, it might be worth it, right? Because you have Clyde Edwards-Helaire, you have the rookie. So, again, it's all about where they fall. I want to just put out one more sleeper. Very interesting one. Isaiah McKenzie from the Bills. Okay? Cole Beasley, he's not there anymore. He's not in Buffalo anymore, right? Cole Beasley got a lot of targets in the slot. He just did. Like, even though you have Stephon Diggs there, now you have Gabe Davis is going to make an insurgence. Now you have Dawson Knox. You have receivers there. But Isaiah McKenzie is the sole owner of that slot receiver position in a high-flying passing offense in Buffalo. And he's wide receiver 65. His ADP is 16.8, Meisty. 16.8 is his ADP. That's crazy. Like, you can get this guy in one of the last rounds. The starting slot receiver in Buffalo. With the QB1 that everyone's raving about and Josh Allen. Why would you not do that? Is my question.
To me, because there are guys that are around there as well. That you can get Alan Lazard, wide receiver 47. Like, these are guys that can, because who else is Aaron Rodgers throwing the ball to? He has to throw the ball to throw it to, you know. So I like that. I mean, give me Devontae Parker's on the Patriots now. That could be an interesting one, right? All these guys are deep in the draft that are just falling. But I mean, I hear what you're saying with Isaiah McKenzie, right? You said Isaiah McKenzie.
Just to drive that home, by the way, do you know how many targets Cole Beasley got last year? 112. This man was heavily targeted in this offense.
That's because Cole Beasley is a good route runner and gets open. It happens to be also has the number one quarterback.
McKenzie's a fine player. He's a fine player. He's a fine route runner. He can catch the ball. He's fine. He'll do well in that offense. Point is, they heavily utilize that slot position clearly in Buffalo as well. They utilize the outside receiver position as well. But if you own the number one slot receiver position in a passing game that is going to be hot, they're going to throw the ball a lot. They're going to throw the ball. They're going to spread the ball around as they did last year. They did not have a good running game. As a result of that, they had to resort to the passing game. And that's why I think Isaiah McKenzie is a good underrated pickup.
Last thing real quick. Someone mentioned this to me. Find a player that's like possibly going to be traded at some point, like a receiver, that's just sitting on a bad team doing his thing. Like any Giants receiver, Sterling Shepherds and those guys, you go with them and you hope that they get traded at some point to a contended team that's going to put up some points. But once again, are you going to take a kicker? Or are you going to can actually get you value?
Yeah. By the way, there is what to be said that kickers should be banned from fantasy football. So I think that unless you're getting Justin Tucker, there is no reason to ever draft a kicker. Ever.
I'm playing in a league with no kickers. It was so confusing. I like go to draft. I'm like, you know what? I'll take Justin Tucker. And then like second to last round, like, yeah, you know what? It's a guaranteed 10 to 12 points per game. Like, he's basically like a defense. He's like a good defense.
That's a great way of looking at it. He's like a good defense.
And then that's it.
But he can't lose your points. That's the difference. Like defenses can. I am a big fan of that. But at the same token, if you're going to have a league with kickers, I guess we just gotta have a good attitude about it and draft a kicker, you know? And defenses are the same thing. Should we eliminate defenses? Those are the wild cards of fantasy football.
Didn't we vote to kick kickers out of our league this past year? Or did we not even vote on that?
Should we bring up the vote with the board?
No, bring it up? Kickers are fun. Kickers are fun.
If you're gonna play with kickers, I've seen some things that you have to have some like special kicker, exciting rule. Like,
okay, if you're gonna play let's do an exciting kicker rule.
Hashtag no, like if you're gonna have kickers, have it like that they can really make or break the whole game, or have it that they're useless.
Useless. I'd rather make them useless than have them be able to break the game.
And what's the point of having them if they're useless?
What are they now?
They're nothing. They're just.
They can actually break your team.
No, really? They can actually. You have guys like no, because you have guys like Justin Tucker who are kicking 50, 60 yarders. Then you have the Chris Boswells who are missing 20 yard field goals.
Yeah, and so can Antonio Boswell. Brown stripping and running off the field. Chris Boswell.
All I have to say about this whole conversation is hashtag for the brand. For those Pat McAfee listeners. You'll understand what I'm saying. But if you're not a Pat McAfee listener, then maybe you should just listen to this.
Rocky, you're going to alienate the few viewers we have here. They're all going to be like, Pat McAfee. They're going to look him up, and they're never going to come back.
Forget it. I know. Once you're
Pat, you owe us money. Tell Pat we sent you and that he owes us money.
You could use our promo code also to get a discount on the Pat McAfee subscription. That would be RMY125. That is actually our promo code. If you sign up at BetUS, in fact, you can find our link on the Twitter page and sign up with the promo code RMY125 to get 125% on your sign-up bonus. So that is factual, but we don't have a promo code with Pat McAfee. That was just a joke. Anyway, yeah. I think we'll stop it there. And yeah, so I was going to say, like, if you have fantasy questions, there's not many things that I'm an expert at, and fantasy football is not one of them, but I do research, and I do listen to podcasts, and I have done my due diligence in this area. Therefore, you can always ask us questions. If you have questions, input, you disagree, agree with us, please let us know. Twitter and Instagram, whatever it is that you social media people use. And we'll... next time, maybe we'll...
I mean, how many times do people text you asking you for advice and you're like, I'm not the guy to go to? They're like, you're a podcaster.
Well, you know, humble pie is the name of the game, but at the end of the day, if you want advice, you know, you could always shoot me a thing. And if I don't know, I'll tell you. I don't know. I'm never scared to plead ignorance. But Meisty is an expert in fantasy football as well, and Morty's also an expert in fantasy football.
Morty's our expert.
Listen, we have four guys. We all know football pretty well. We have four guys. You send it to one of us. We'll all discuss it, and we can come up with a pretty good answer. That's the point. Four heads better than one, as they say. With that being said, everyone, thank you for joining us. Till next time.